Dear Father in heaven, I want to pray in the name of Jesus that you'll open Tony's heart, as we've already prayed together, help him to adjust, to do, to hear, to listen, to speak, just according to your will, and help us each in the reception of this presentation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. All right, so a little secret about me. I don't like being up front. I hate it. I despise it. And it is something that I don't ever think I'll feel comfortable with. So I just want to share that. So if I stumble a little or I stutter, it's because I'm nervous. And because I don't like being up here. I don't like the attention on me. I am a personal ministry guy. I'm a small group, individual person. And that's just how I work the best. But God told me this is what he wanted me to do. So another secret is I got here before Tim did. So let's just be honest. I got offered a job here, and we prayed about it, my wife and I, and that God called us here. But right after I accepted the job here, Tim offered me my other job back and the one I wanted. And I was like, oh, no, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, I really want this job. And my wife's like, no, no, no. We belong at Mountain View. And God then brings Tim here. Him and I, we have the same visions. Might be because he trained me for the last 7 years, but we have the same visions, and that's total member involvement, and that is why you guys are here. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, shut me up and speak through me. That's all I can ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so for the last 7 years before I came to the Mountain View Conference and became a pastor, I was a Bible instructor. So we're using our Bibles to start. Put your notepads away. Close your binders. We are going to be in the Word right now. That is what I live by. That is my example to my children. That is the example to my church. Right, guys? All right. I'm not a slide presenter. I'm not anything like that. I'm straight up. Let's open the Word. You got to write it down. Okay, Don. All right. So I want us to start in John chapter 8. And while you're opening your Bible to John chapter 8, I want you to think about, where was I when Jesus came to me? Where was I when I was thrown at the feet of Jesus, when I should have been stoned for my sin? All right, we're going to have some interaction time. We're going to run over probably today. I'm going to warn you. Just work with me a little bit. All right, so we're going to start in verse 3. We all know this story. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. First, I just got to stop there. What's going on here? They're testing Jesus, but how did this woman get caught in adultery? Somebody else is sinning there. Let's just be honest. If they're catching somebody in adultery, they're watching. Or they might have been doing the very act. All right. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now the law of Moses commands us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" But what do you say? But they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him of. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, and he said nothing. Here's God. Here's Jesus. Yes, they don't know this yet. He knows the word. He knows what the law of Moses says. He wrote it. And yet, he's not saying anything. He's quiet. Were people quiet when you were caught in your sin? Or when Jesus came to you, were they pointing out your flaws, pointing out everything that was wrong with you? Remember? Remember what it was like? I'm not good enough, God. Excuse me, once. Going on to verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in his midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one was there but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those who accuse you?" Woman, where are those who accused you? Those who have condemned you? Satan has condemned us. Satan wants us dead. He wants us away from our Savior. He wants us away from Jesus Christ. He does not want us to know how awesome and powerful our God truly is. He wants to destroy. Agreed? But what does God say? What does Jesus say to this woman? "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." Where were you when you met Jesus? This is part of what's coming up over the next few days. We're going to teach you how to share your testimony. It doesn't have to be like Mary Magdalene. It doesn't have to be mine, Matt's, Clayton's, any of them. They're not the same. It has to be your testimony with God. Where were you when Jesus met you? I was at a place called Great Lakes Adventist Academy, also known as GLA or Blah for some of us. Jason loved it there. I did not. But Jason was one of my only real friends there, and I'll share that. God called me to be a pastor at 14 years old. How'd I take that one, Jason? What? No, no, God, not me. I can't do it. I'm garbage. I'm junk. I'm nobody. What did we learn yesterday? We're treasure. We were bought at a price. What price were we bought at? The life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's who I want to tell you guys about today. But just like John 3:16, sometimes people just say, "Oh yeah, Jesus died for me. God sent Jesus to die for me," and it means nothing to them. It's overdone. Not to me. Not to all of you necessarily, but it's overdone. Let's just be honest. You see it everywhere in the world, right? Remember Tim Tebow? Who remembers Tim Tebow? John 3:16, Florida University quarterback, well, running back, really, that's what he was, had John 3:16 written under his eyes every game. Praise God every time he scored a touchdown. Awesome. It was everywhere, though. It didn't mean anything to anyone. And I've noticed in my ministry over the last 10 years that when we say Jesus has died for us, it's becoming almost bland. Has anyone else noticed that in our churches? We say, yeah, God's died for us, but we don't live like it. So I want to play a song today for you guys. And I want to tell you, it's a video. It's graphic, but it's truth. And this doesn't even describe to T what Jesus went through for you. So if you have a weak stomach, close your eyes and listen to the words of the song. It's taken from Isaiah 53. And Barry, will you please put it on the screen for me?
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We than the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. And by his wounds, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I want you to understand something. This is serious. This is life-changing. Emotional, right? He did that for me. For you. Not everyone needed to see that, I know, but this is the point. This is what the world needs to know about. Yes, it's Hollywood-wise, but that's not the worst that happened to him. That's not the worst that happened to him. And he did it for us. So when I tell you I am serious about winning people to Jesus and soul winning, I mean it. And I want us serious as to death. He risked never seeing his father again for us. He risked the second death. He had victory over the first and the second. Do we all agree? Victory for us. How we live today, what we do with our actions, our words, either brings honor to him or it redoes that. This is the wake-up call. This is it. I want to go home. And that's the truth. But we have a calling to give the Mountain View Conference, our churches, our communities, Jesus Christ. So if you're not serious, if you're not 100% in, I'm telling you right now, you might as well go home. All right? And Matt, if somebody tries going home, please stop them and just put them in the corner there. We'll take care of them in a little bit. And Pastor Matt will be leading out. So, no, got to lighten the mood a little. But this is serious. All right? Are you in? Are you 100% in? Are you ready to grow? All right. So today, over the last month, actually, I'm going to share this. I had to realize I'm not my mentor. I'm not Lillian Torres. I had to come up with what God wanted me to talk about here in the Mountain View Conference. And I've come and visited a lot of your churches, and I realized something. We need spiritual, hello, wake up, growth. Hold on one second. Might help if I actually plug it in. Yeah, I know, it would help. The mission of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Who can read that for me? Actually, hold on, where'd that mic go? Tim, do you still have it? All right, I want to have this going around. I don't like being the only one who talks, so I'm going to pass this mic around. Come on. All right. DW, you mind running that mic for me? Who wants to read it? All right, okay, let's start here, and then Don, I'll have you read the Mountain View Conference one. Okay, stop you.
The mission of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to make disciples of all people, communicating the everlasting gospel in the content of the three angels' messages of Revelation 14, 6 through 12, leading them to accept Jesus as personal Savior and unite with his remnant church, discipling them to serve him as Lord and preparing them for his soon return.
Amen. That is awesome. Don is going to read the next one. That is our
GC,
Global Conference, Mission and Vision of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is Mountain Views.
We exist to grow healthy churches that reflect Christ's love and compassion in our communities. Amen.
Are you ready? I'm ready. I see Volpe. He's like, yeah, let's do this. He's like, yeah, we want to tell people this. We're ready to go out. I want to talk about keys to local evangelism, and I already said it, spiritual growth. But this quote, DW, can you read this quote? Or?
Okay. It is the sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin is the great truth around which all other great truths. It actually says other truths cluster. In order to be rightly understood and appreciated, every truth in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation must be studied in the light that streams from the cross of Calvary. I present before you the great grand monument of mercy and regeneration, salvation and redemption. The Son of God uplifted on the cross. This is to be the foundation of every discourse given by our ministers. And this comes from Gospel Workers, page 315.
All right, what's this mean? It's to be simple, so what's this mean? Every message needed to be Christ-centered. If we can't center it on Jesus Christ, then we shouldn't be having it as a message. Amen. That's just the bottom line. All right. Come on. I'm going to give you guys this presentation, please. I want you to engage more than write notes down. You all get this presentation. Five principles of spiritual growth. We're going to go in order. All right. First principle. Who has their Bible? All right. Grace, read. Yep. Grace, you rose your hand first. Please read 1 Peter 1:23 and 2:2. Again, I'm a Bible study guy. I'm giving you guys a Bible study. Mm-hmm. And then who wants to read next? Matthew. Okay, then we got Keith next. And then we'll do that. We'll just do two from this. All right, so Grace, when you're ready.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
And then 2:2.
As newborn babies, desired the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
Keith.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
What should we live by? The word of God. Why is it important for us to read our Bibles? To what? To know the word for yourself. And who's the word? Christ. We are to study the word, to know it for ourselves, and to know who our God is, who our Jesus is. If we don't spend time in the Word, we cannot, I repeat, cannot grow, and we can't really teach people about who God is. Go ahead, say it, go.
I would reverse that. It is to know Christ first.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. Amen, yes, reverse it. Yes, absolutely, Maurice, you're right. All right, going on. Second principle, praying. Why do we need prayer? Well, let's just open that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians, all right, Volpe.
Pray without ceasing.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Volpe. And Psalms 50:15. Psalms 50:15. All right, let me look for a volunteer. Psalms 50:15. I'm going to pick on Donna right here. Hold on, I'll just take my mic off.
And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.
Amen.
Wow. Pray without ceasing and call upon God. You know, in Matthew 26:36-46, Jesus gave that example when he was in the garden. He had the weight of the world on his shoulder, and he prayed to his Father, if this is not your will, to do what? Take this cup from me. Through all trouble, Christ went to his Father in heaven through prayer. He has shown us everything as an example. Why do you need prayer in your life? Let me ask a different question. How has prayer helped your life? Listen, I am moving through these slides to move quickly, so I want people to talk. And I know. My sister has something to say here.
I couldn't live without it. We can't live without it.
We can't live without prayer. We cannot live without communicating with God. Pastor Daniel, yes.
It's helped me build an intimate relationship with Jesus. Having that quiet time, being able to be honest with someone and have him speak into you as well. That's just how a healthy relationship is built, right?
Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many people here are married? Okay, awesome. All right, so what if you never talk to your spouse? How would that end? So if your husband, Brother Jim, wouldn't talk to you at night, you would say, that's it, I'm done with him. Or would you have ever even invested in him? If we want to make something perfect, yes, Pastor D.W.,
one thing is though, we can't have this experience through our parents, our spouse, our pastors, or anybody else. We have to have this one-on-one relationship with God, so we can't have it through somebody else. We have to have that experience, that relationship with God one-on-one. It can't be through our mom, our dad. It can't be through our wife or our husband. It has to be with God.
Exactly. You know, I know a very spiritual man whose wife doesn't believe in God. His salvation, his relationship, will not save his wife. But going back to investing into something, you can never get what you deserve out of something if you don't invest it. That's just the truth. We don't deserve God's love, but he wants to freely give it to us. Amen. He wants to invest it into us. Are we willing to talk to him and spend time with him? Prayer is the key essential. Yes, Pastor Jason.
Ooh. Are we praying for others too? Because let me tell you, I would not be here if it wasn't for the prayers even of my mother praying for me through my life.
Yeah, both of our mothers. You know, Pastor Jason's right. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mother or my grandmother's prayers. Hold on, Timmy. Don't speak until I get the mic. It's okay.
I'd like to say that communication is like oxygen for the body. If you don't have it, if the oxygen don't get to the brain, the rest of the body won't work.
Woo! So if we don't pray, we're going to what? Die. Prayer is the life of our spiritual life. It is the guiding, that communication with God. If we don't have that, bada bing, bada boom, forget about it. That's just the truth. We need to have that relationship with God. Let me ask you this. You ever know you had somebody praying for you? Jason said his mother. My grandmother, knew what God called me to. And she prayed every day until she died that I would go into ministry. She prayed every day until I died that I would listen to God's call. It took a couple years after her death of me being mad and angry that I said, all right, God, I'm going to do this. I don't care anymore. I want to be happy. I want to follow you. I want to be serving what you called me to do. Her prayer was answered. Even though she was gone, God still answered her prayer. Every day for 15 years, she got down on her knees. And guess what? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest. She was a Catholic woman. Did God hear her prayers? Absolutely. God heard her prayers. Didn't matter that she was Catholic or if she was Baptist. God heard her prayers. God hears our prayers. The question is, do we take time to listen? In prayer time, listening is key. Having that silent time with God after you pray. If you're always talking, how can he ever answer you? Everyone agree with that? I'm crazy, somebody's got to stand up and tell me I'm crazy. All right, let's go to the third principle. Fellowship. Who here likes the fellowship? I should see Miguel, Jose's, Jaime's hands, DW's. Yeah, we like to fellowship. All right, Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Somebody read Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. I don't want to get up there and read it to you. I want you to read it out of your Bible for yourself. Who wants to read it? Huh? Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, and then Acts 2, 42 and 46. All right, Volpe, you go, and then Clayton will read after him.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then down to 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart.
Amen. Amen. So why is fellowship important? To encourage one another. To what? Refine, okay. Iron sharpens iron. What else? Yes, sir. No man's an island. Anyone else? These are all good answers. They're all right answers. We can't show love like Jesus in a bubble. Listen, it is important to have time together, to grow together, because you know what? Sometimes we have to pray together. Pastor Volpe, and then who's hand? Okay, yep.
From everyone else.
We meet
and
each
likewise,
other's needs.
We need each other to bounce things off of and to grow together, because they have something in their character that's going to affect and help my character to grow.
Exactly. Right here. Black leather jacket. Yes. Daryl. Thank you.
Daryl.
Yes.
The church, we don't conceptualize this enough. It's not just tattooed yet on our gray matter. The church is an organism, not an organization. And talk to me about how growth happens in an organization when the church is conceptualized and run as an organization versus how it grows spontaneously when it's conceptualized and carried out and lived as an organism. And that ties right into this fellowship. No man is an island. In an organism where you're the hand, this guy's the foot, and you know, but an organization, there are a lot of Rambos running around, you know.
Whoa!
Mercy.
He's good. I'll repeat if I have to.
No, you're going to use the mic for the
recording.
How many of us know how the Seventh-day Adventist Church started? Raise your hand. The problem that we have is that we have forgotten that this started as a movement.
Oof.
And a movement is something that is continual. The minute you begin to feel satisfied and sedated because you are a church, you lose all perspective of the purpose of why we're even called to be ministers of God.
Hmm.
And that's something very important. This is something that I've been preaching everywhere I go. We are not a church. Say it with me. We are not a church. We are a movement. And that's what God has called us to do today. God is calling for this movement of Seventh-day Adventism to be revived and begin to start marching again.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. It is a hospital for sinners. Did you call it a museum? Did you say not a museum for saints? Not a museum for saints. I like that. I'm going to write that one down. Right there, DW. And the maroon. That's, I like that.
So just jumping off of what he said over there, I don't know his name, I'm sorry.
Pastor Abner.
Okay. I've often thought about how the early, you know, founders of the church, all the things that they did, the innovations, and they had nothing and they did all this stuff. And imagine if they had the tools that we have today, what they'd accomplish. And they were just a small group, so we're like all over the place. What if we all thought the way they did, you know,
Amen.
What we could accomplish?
So.
There we go. All right, let's move on to, oh, Keith, yeah.
The interesting thing about fellowship is that Ellen G. White writes in her books that they stayed up really, really late praying and studying over scripture. And they would even go into the next morning and then they would go to sleep and continue again. So the fellowship thing being as a community is very, very important.
It is one of the most important aspects. Well, with fellowship comes our next point. Being a witness.
Amen.
What we are here for. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25. I'm not reading these. I need people to volunteer. Dawn, okay? And then Matt, will you do Acts 2, 42 and 46? Oh, Christian. What did I do?
Yeah.
Well, that's being a witness. Sorry. Yeah, it goes about, listen. Matthew 28, yes, that's where I was just going to go. The Great Commission. What did we get called to do? Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to where? No, just in the church. Just stop it. We're not going. No, you're crazy. They never called us into the world. The world's full of sinners. Where's it say that?
Everywhere.
We have some churches, let's just be honest, guys, who won't do evangelism. Maybe you're a member of a church who won't do evangelism. Maybe you're a pastor of a church who won't do evangelism. Do not settle for that.
Amen.
We are commanded as disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not asked. We are commanded to go out, despite what your church board or church members may say. If they won't go, that doesn't stop you from going.
Amen.
I was the only person in a church that went out for 2 years in Canada. Canada is one of the hardest places I've ever had to witness to someone. 2 years. It was the hardest place. Yeah, I had baptisms, but they were youth from the church. Yeah, I had baptisms. That was cool. Yeah, a young person gave their life to Jesus Christ. Thank God. Praise God. But that wasn't what I was there for. I wanted to reach the community. I went on my own. But after this young man named Seth was baptized, he came with me. 20 years old, knocked on door. We were rejected 22 straight times. And when I was ready to give up, When I said, forget Canada, which I did, he said, we got to keep going, Pastor Tony. He's like, we got to keep going. The next house might say yes. Amen. The next house said yes. A family of six were baptized. If I didn't listen to Seth, I would have given up right there. That family of six might not have came to God. Ended up being 37 baptisms in that church that last 6 months we were there. After Seth went out, my elders went out. You called it a museum? It was a museum. There were artifacts in that church. Artifacts that hadn't been moved, that weren't willing to go, but after they saw him go, they're like, well, maybe I'm not too old to do this. That's what they said. I'm not making up. Elder Barry Maddox, one of my closest friends to this day, regrets not being out in that field with me for the whole 2 years. He said, imagine what we could accomplish. Over the last 5 years, they've had over 150 baptisms because of total member involvement. They weren't going to let their pastor come in and sit, a different pastor come in and sit on their butt either. They said, no way, not today. We're going out. We're going to do ministry. During COVID, they had the most baptisms Armstrong, 22. They had the most baptisms in all of Canada. Canada had the worst shutdown laws outside of, I think, Australia probably during COVID-19. And Daniel's like, yep. They would not allow people to go to church. They wouldn't even allow people to stream church. But they still did it. They couldn't have more than five people together. The pastor had to run a Zoom meeting. That was that county's rules where they were at. They would not let more than two or three people be together. So they had to stream. They had to stream everything. 22 baptisms still. God's awesome. They would not give up. Barry's 80 years old now. I'll tell you a story about Moses. I love telling a story about Moses because Pastor Bailey and I, we love Pastor Moses. Pastor Moses is what, 90 years old right now? 90 plus years old? Even during COVID-19, he did not let it scare him. He was at the door knocking on people's doors about telling them about Jesus. I had to keep up with him for a whole year. Okay? I had two churches, and every time I came back, he would have more Bible studies than me. Every time. I said, Moses, just give me your Bible study so I can get it done faster. They didn't want to study with me. They loved him. It's just the truth. They loved that old, sweet gentleman who showed people Jesus. Amen. Who knows how many baptisms he's had since then. But it's because he never gave up on being a witness. He never gave up on being a disciple. We cannot let anything stop us from going out and telling people about Jesus. There's always going to be an obstacle. There's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be a reason. Are you going to allow that reason to stop the world from knowing Jesus? To stop West Virginia? To stop Spencer, Charleston, Parkersburg, Elkins from knowing about Jesus? Somerview, Valley View, Somersville, thank you. Yeah, sorry, mixing up names. Are we gonna let some excuse stop us? Are you gonna let an excuse stop you? No. Okay, so when we do this call in a month, I better hear some progress, right? What's that, DW? There's gonna be what?
There's gonna be progress in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm even gonna call Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, and see what's going on over there. And Washington, and Florida. Yeah, I want to know what's going on. Because every person that we bring to Jesus is one step closer to going home. Fifth principle, being obedient to the Word of God. Why is it important to obey? Why do we listen to mom and dad as kids? Because hopefully they know what's best for us, right? Because if you didn't, you get grounded. Okay. All right. Well, so we know what was up with Abner. Why do we listen to our parents? So I didn't get la chancla. I'm not even going to lie. We trust in them. They're smarter than me. Oh, well. We love them. Why do we love them? Because they first loved us. They were people who were put over us for us to trust. The Bible. Bible is the Word of God. It is guidelines to how to live. But some people don't want to trust it. Don't want to obey it. Well, let's see what the Bible says about obeying. In Matthew 6:24. Who wants to read that? All right, Don. Hold on.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Right. You cannot serve God and wealth.
And 22:37, Don, just jump over
there. I'm looking at 22 what? 37. No. I'm slow. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.
You should love God with everything you have. Jesus said, if you love me, what?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. I don't want to cut it off here, guys. I do want to take a quick break, but in a minute here. I'm going to give you these slides. So don't worry about writing everything down, keeping notes and these things. I want you to think about something. The world doesn't want to keep the law of God, right? How do you feel about His law is your what? Delight?
I feel a good God has good laws.
A good God has good laws? They're at your best interest. Very good. They're not burdensome. They're what? They're free. Would you not say their rules are a way of showing love? Because let me. Who's ever been a child without rules here? I had no rules for a long time. Okay, Matt, how'd that work out for you? It didn't work out. No, it didn't work out. There was no boundary. There was no guideline. I could be out doing whatever I wanted, and if I'm not serving myself, who am I serving? The devil. Satan. If I'm not looking at what God wants me to do, I'm serving myself. God wants his children to be happy. You know, Steps to Christ is my favorite book outside of the Bible. Steps to Christ is my favorite Sister White book. It talks about who our God is and how he loves us. One of God's first love stories to us is nature. Look where you're at today. This is a beautiful place to be. It's a lot prettier than Charleston, let me tell you that. Yeah, we lived there, we know. It's a lot prettier than Parkersburg out here. Anybody going to argue that? Richie going to argue with me? Nope. I've been down to Valley View. This is where Abner lives. So basically, this is like his backyard. But let's be honest, this is a beautiful place where you can see God's love for you. Yesterday morning, Pastor Daniel and I went out for a walk early in the morning to catch the sunrise. To see the colors of the sky painted out there. God is love. To listen to the birds chirping and singing their morning songs. And you could hear a little shake, too, because it was cold. But it says, God is love. With the waves crashing on the shore of a lake or an ocean, it talks about God is love. God is a God of order, but his first quality is what? Love. I always say 1 Corinthians 13. Is God's character. Anyone want to argue with me? Because I will go at it with you for hours. Because you're not going to be able to prove me wrong. I'll be like, nope. I'll be the stubborn little old lady who you can't convert. It's about time I get to have a shot at that. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back. Listen.